That. Good morning. As he said, I am Tirza. My father is Pastor Andy. I do warn you, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. I will probably be walking all over the place. So, just a heads up. Well, I'm very happy I can be here today. And since you're right, you don't know much about me, I'll give you a little rundown. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect, not by a long shot. I became a Christian when I was very young. I followed Jesus. I have watched other people follow Jesus, and I am still learning. I will say I'm a teenager in the faith, you know. You go through the little rebellious phase, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm wrong. Okay, oops. Sorry, I'll do better next time, and you just keep going. So that is where I am in my faith. But first, I'm going to read Jeremiah, and I have discovered that Jeremiah, especially chapter 1, is probably my favorite chapter, because it's when God calls Jeremiah, and I feel like this is a very strong calling on my life in particular, and let's see if I can open to the correct page first, and then we'll get going from there. Okay. So Jeremiah 1, Chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand up against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given me, and thank you for the privilege that we have to come together and learn about you and sing praises to you. And Lord, I pray that we will not take that for granted. Lord, I pray that you will give me words to speak, and that I will that you will help me minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today, the title of this message is, how do I find courage? I'm sure we can name a lot of people who have done courageous things, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, A.W. Tozer. Like, we can name people who have done great, like, terrifying things. But I want to know, do you know anyone personally that you would describe as courageous? Like, When you think of that person, do you think courageous? For those of you who do, that's awesome. I'm very happy for you. I can name a couple too, but I'm going to be truthful here. Whenever the name Christian enters someone's mind, courageous is what they should be thinking, because it takes courage to be a Christian. And my question for you is, why isn't that the first thing people think of? We can go through all over the place in the Bible, and we can find all these courageous people. You have Ruth, Esther, Jeremiah, Samson, like all the judges. Like, you can find courageous people. Paul, Jesus, like, they're all over the place. Yet for some reason, many of us don't follow that example. And one of the reasons I was wondering, why is that? And I think part of the reason is we've never actually sat and thought about the fact that Christians have to be courageous. I mean, we know that they should be loving, they should be kind, they should be firm on what they stand for, but, like, honestly, it's all over the place. But we don't really think courageous, do we? I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I am 18, I am just learning, I am not all-knowing here, guys. So, I'm going to be focusing on a very courageous character, probably one of my favorites. He's by far not perfect. Please realize that. People in the Bible are not perfect except Jesus. That's the only perfect person. But he definitely has done some courageous feats. And I'm going to be talking about David. I mean, who doesn't know David? Like, he's awesome. He's the king of Israel. He went and gathered up his people. He started putting all the stuff aside for the temple. He's the father of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Who doesn't know David? And one thing that I want to focus on today is the courage of David. Like, whoa, that's just, it's amazing, his courage. But before we get too far into that, maybe we should define what is courage. I mean, it's kind of hard to be talking about courage if you don't exactly know what it is. Am I right? So I looked up on the internet, and I got two definitions, and then I decided to go for what's the root word of courage. So I'll tell you the two definitions I got. The first one is the ability to do something that frightens one. Like, we've all been in those scary situations. I'm a hiker. I love hiking. So I'm telling you, and I like rock climbing, there is definitely situations where I'm over here, like, hanging on for dear life and, like, terrified that I'm going to fall. And you have to have faith to be able to reach out and grab something else and keep going. Second one is strength in the face of pain or grief. I have yet to experience the crippling pain that many people have feel, but I have seen it in many people. When they lose a loved one and they sometimes their pain is so great it cripples them and they can't move on. Well, I've also known many courageous people who have been able to feel that crippling pain and just keep going. And then finally, this one was very interesting to me. The root word for courageous comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. So essentially, then, the word courageous means to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. That stop me in my tracks. And I'll tell you why after we read the passage of scripture. And I'm sorry for jumping all over the place, Dave, but today's scripture is 1 Samuel 17. And I'm going to be reading, I think it is 20 through 37. So if you guys will please stand if you can. If you can't, that's okay. So for those of you who don't know where exactly we are, The Philistines are, and the Israelites are going at it again. They are going and they're going to go fight. And David and David's older brothers are called to battle. And, you know, they've been at battle for so long. And David's dad is like, Jesse is, hey, go take some supplies to your brothers and go get them food. Like, go and then come back and tell me how are they doing. Because it's been a while, and most of you guys are parents here. Wouldn't you be a little concerned if your child was at war and you haven't heard from them in a long time? So that's what David's doing. So early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of the shepherd, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out on his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You may be seated. Wow. So, from someone who has not heard this story over and over again, how many of you guys would think, dang, he's a hot-headed young man. He is impulsive, and, like, to, we hear from his older brother, to Eliab, this is just a 15-year-old's, like, boastful, like, huh, I can kill anything. How many of you guys know that we teenagers tend to do that? We tend to be like, oh, I can do this, it's easy! Let's go! Bring it! I got this! And then, I don't know, it actually happens, just like, nope, never mind, I'm done. So, to many people in the story, David, they don't know David. They don't know that David has spent years in the wilderness praising and spending time with God, his father, and watching sheep and protecting. They don't know that. They just see this young, youthful person telling, I can do that. And I bet many of them, not just Eliab, were insulted. And some of them might have been relieved, like, oh, maybe. But, I mean, you're a warrior and you're looking at the shepherd boy. And let's just be honest, shepherds were not very high in the social ranking here. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, is it really arrogance? No, it's courage. He is speaking from his heart what he believes, and it's not boastful in his abilities. It's not about what he can do. He's angry that people have allowed for their God, their almighty God. They did not have faith in their God to stand up for him. I mean, they did not have faith that God would be there for them. It wasn't. David was not boasting in his own strength. He's saying, my God who protected me from the lion and the bear will protect me from this Philistine. And when I thought about this, the root of David's courage was his faith. It was his faith in his almighty God that gave him the courage to speak out. And if you want more proof, think about it. If you go to Hebrews 11, it's called the faith chapter, you'll see a list of people who did all these crazy things. And like Noah, he had the faith to build the ark, but let's just be honest. Standing up against the norm is courageous, right? Building an ark to be laughed at is courageous. Abraham, totally leaving everything he knew. I moved from Kentucky. That was the scariest thing I've done. But I at least knew where I was going, and I knew some of the people where I was going. Abraham didn't know any of that. He just said, okay, God told me to go, and I'm leaving. And in Hebrews, it says he had the faith. And his faith is the product, no, sorry, his courage is the product of his faith. So my point to you, my first and foremost point is, in order to have courage, you first have to have faith. And it's not just, it's in everyday things. Whenever someone shows courage, they're showing faith in something. When you're rock climbing, you're in a precarious situation, you are putting faith in whatever's holding you up. Let's just be honest. You would not want to be there if your harness was not going to work. If you didn't trust your harness, you should not be on that rock. If you didn't have faith that your harness would keep you safe, you shouldn't be up there. So, first, what is faith? Again, you can turn to Hebrews 11 for that. It's the hope in things unseen. It's the hope of things unseen. And that can be kind of scary. Like, who wants to trust something they can't see? How many of you guys have done a trust fall before? It's terrifying, right? Yeah, because you got to trust the person behind you. Now, how many of you guys have you guys ever done a trust fall with someone you don't trust? It's terrifying, right? I have an older brother who loves to do this. When he does trust falls, he makes sure he waits to the last possible second to catch you. It's terrifying. There's a reason why I don't do trust falls anymore. But in order to do a trust fall, you have to have faith in the person behind you. Moving on, we've talked about another point I'd like to point out about David. So the first instance is David speaking courage, as in core, speaking from his heart. How many's heart would be that pure if we talked like that? Like, if we actually said what was in our heart? I'm going to be open up front. There have been times where, like, I've been so, that I have gotten there. And I've had some good times. And then there'll be times where I am so angry and, like, my heart is so ugly and it comes out when I'm arguing. I'm sitting here like, and it's not faith, it's anger that causes me to say things that's actually on my heart. And it's kind of ugly sometimes. So that's another reason why I'm so amazed at David. Like, this isn't his heart. You can tell from how he's talking. It's pure. It's so full of faith. I love it. It's just amazing. The other thing is courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. Standing up against a 9-foot giant would be kind of terrifying, don't you think? Like, and this is not an experience, like, this is not a warrior. David's not a warrior. He can't even, like, put on the armor. And he's standing up against this guy that's a giant. And not only does he have to contend with the, how do I put this? The jibes from Goliath. He has to contend with his own people. His own people who's just like, yeah, you can't do that. Like, he has to contend with his own brother. Like, I'm sorry, your brother and your sister, your family are the ones who are supporting you. I know from experience, if my dad's not on board with it, I'm probably going to be a little less likely to join. Like, family is very important, especially in this culture. And sometimes, in order to do what we're supposed to, we have to have the courage to go against even what our family says. And so that is another reason why I admire David, because he knows what's right. And even though he's facing all this adversary, he's going to stand and say, no, this is what we should be doing. This Goliath has just basically said he's better than God. And it's not true. And by you guys cowering in fear, you have shown him that you don't have faith in our God either. And it makes me wonder about today. Many people are cowering in fear. However, on the flip side of the coin, many people aren't. I know that there are churches going on right now that really should not be, like, lawfully should not be going on. Now, the next couple points I'm going to point out is a little bit harder. And this one's harder because it deals with your pride. And pride, especially in Americans, I'm not meaning to generalize too much, but let's be honest, we have a lot of pride. I'm going to fast forward a couple of years. David is king. and he has everything he wants, right? And one day he's his people at war, yet he's in his castle, and he's walking around on the rooftop, and he sees this gorgeous young lady, and he's like, that's it, I'm gonna have her. And we all know the story of David and Bathsheba. He sleeps with her, she gets pregnant. David's like, oh, no, I'm going to be discovered. I'm going to go send for her husband and bring him back and try to cover up my sin. And then when that fails, he's like, that's it. I'm killing Uriah, and I'm going to figure out how to cover this a different way. After Uriah dies, David takes Bathsheba as his wife. She gives birth to a son. Now, that's not very courageous. That's obvious. But when David gets called out by Nathan, his response is courageous, because instead of making excuses, instead of trying to justify his actions, instead of blaming Nathan for coming and revealing this to him, his response is, I've sinned. I'm wrong. And it takes a lot of courage to go out and say, I messed up. It's hard. It hurts. Like, we don't like people knowing we messed up. And the courage that it took him to just say, I'm wrong. And he even takes it a step further. He doesn't just say, I'm wrong. He says, God, please forgive me. And asking for forgiveness is sometimes even harder than admitting that we're wrong. Because not only are we admitting we're wrong, but we're asking something from someone else. And that hurts your pride. Or it hurts my pride, at least. I don't know about yours. You guys might be special in that regard, but it definitely hurts my pride. It's actually how I finally understood the term stiff-necked people, because I'm over here like, nope, not going to do it. Eesh! There we go. So that is hard. And the reason why David, again, it's... So this one actually has two components to his courage. One is humility, because he has to humble himself before God. And then he has to humble himself before Bathsheba and all these other people he's wronged. But this one is going to come up again. Faith. He had faith that God was a just God, but also a merciful God. David knew that just because he apologized, it didn't mean the consequences were going away. He knew that the consequences would still be there. But he had faith in the forgiveness of God. And that, for us, is slightly harder to grasp. Because let's just be honest, in lots of cases, we don't even understand forgiveness. I've been listening to a sermon by Michael Todd. I'm not going to say the title because that might be problematic. But in the whole thing, he's talking about how hard it is for us to forgive people, and how like we do a lot of like, yeah, I forgive you, but like, and it's all surface, and then you don't get to the root of the problem, and it just festers, and it starts to build you off. Obviously, I don't really know how to explain forgiveness because I don't understand it myself either. Because I'm still working on learning to forgive and to accept forgiveness. But I'm impressed with David because he had learned how to accept forgiveness. I mean, he went through, like, he knew there'd be consequences because of his actions. It actually kind of led to the whole Absalom thing. Which is when Absalom's like, that's it, I'm going to revoke, I'm going to try to lead an uprising. Like, there are really big, horrible consequences from David's actions to begin with. Yet David understood God and his forgiveness, and he was able to humble himself and be courageous enough to accept it. When we think of things, we don't often think of courage. That's not the idea we come to our head. there's a lot of courageous things that are going out. Like going to talk to some person that you've never met before about God. It's terrifying. My youth group has been working on giving out these little tracts. And it's terrifying going up to people you've never met and being say, hey, have you seen this before? Like, there have been times where I've been like, here's a tract, see ya. Because it's terrifying. But the more you do it, the better it gets. There are other courageous things that people do daily. For some people, going into work is courageous because they are the only ones who believe in what they believe. Now, one of the things that comes with being courageous, though, is speaking what's in your heart. And I'm wondering if what's in your heart would reflect God well. Would it be like David's heart that's just like, my God's got this? Or would it be self-centered? I know I'm jumping all over the place, and I seriously apologize for that. It drives me crazy when pastors do that, and here I am doing it, and I apologize for it. But in many cases, we can show the courage, like, to stand up, and we can show the courage to do what scares us. But can we do the other type of courage and do it in a way that pleases God? Can we speak what's on our heart, and will what's on our heart be pleasing? I work in a workplace that I love the people I work with. They're amazing. But I'm going to be honest. What they say is continually in my brain. It's a lot of cussing. There's a lot of stuff that should not be said that's been said. And you have to be there and be like, am I allowing what they've said to enter my heart? When you are courageous, you're often pushed to very extremes, if you think about it. Because when you're being courageous, you're having adversity most of the time. And when you're angry and you're kind of feeling trapped, you say the first thing that comes to your head, right? Am I wrong? I know I do. When I feel trapped, I might be like trying. If I'm feeling angry and I know that there are things that are going to come out of me that I don't want to be said, I try to suppress it very hard. Because it's not exactly the most, I don't particularly think Jesus would be proud of some of the ways I would handle some things if push came to shove. And I sit there and I try to hold it in. And then you get pushed too far and you say it. But my question is, well, my point is that should not even be in my heart to begin with. I should be following God to the ability that I am there, and when push comes to shove, what's coming out of my mouth is something that would be pleasing to my God, the God that I am serving. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Some days I am better at it. Some days I am worse at it. It is a journey that I have been following and trying hard to stay to. It's hard sometimes. Many of you guys know this. But my goal is to be able to have the courage to stand up to adversity and then have the core, my heart, be a reflection of what Jesus would want. So that when I am pushed, what I say will be about faith in my God and his ability to overcome anything. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that that people will take this word to heart and that they will take it out and learn something from it. Lord, you are an amazing, awesome God. And Lord, I pray that you will transform our hearts so that when we speak, we'll sound like David, strong and courageous in you with faith, that you will carry us and that you will do great things through us. Please be with us throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.